This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Ain't that crazy that the law actually makes you free?
Yeah.
That was a big thing that Paul had to deal with, was this law of the Spirit of grace and this law that Moses gave.
Yep.
and battling between the two, and not because the law of Moses was evil.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that I think a lot of people misinterpret about the law. Mm-hmm. Is that it was bad.
Yep.
You know, it was keeping the people in bondage when really God gave it to them for their own good.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what Paul had to argue. He's like, look, this thing that I wrestle against, it's not a bad thing.
No.
The thing that you are holding to, it's not bad, but Christ has fulfilled it.
Yeah, the people got the law as a means of showing them their inability to keep the law.
Uh-huh.
They got the law 100%. To point them to Christ, who would offer them a better law, a better way. So it's not like, you know, when people talk about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's not that Jesus came to do away with the Old Testament.
Right.
No, he came to fulfill it, mm-hmm. to bring it to completion. And now because of the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we have life and we have freedom instead of condemnation and punishment and death.
That's right. And you find that freedom all throughout God's word. We want to help you do that every single day. You can download the Date the Word app. It's 100% free. We're going to leave a link right there in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. Ryan, my friend, I've got a question for you.
Question for me.
Oh, ooh, baby, y'all know what time it is. Oh, oh, oh. You're daggone right I do. Ryan, I thought of this last night. I thought it would actually be really good for Dr. Shah, but I want to ask you too.
Okay.
We do a lot of reading, right?
Yes.
$1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you read something,
yep.
If you learn something from that book,
mm-hmm.
the only way you retain the knowledge is if that book is on your person.
Ooh. Okay. So
or you forget it instantly.
I have a couple follow-up questions.
Yes.
If I have the book on my person.
Yeah.
Put the book down. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten.
You've
the
forgotten
thing.
You've forgotten which is. So it's like, okay, I'm reading a book on, I don't know, gardening.
Right.
So, okay. I just closed the book. I've just learned a lot about gardening. I put the book down.
Forgotten.
I've forgotten all of it. But now, if I pick it up, I remember it.
Okay. So that was my question. If I pick it up, do I instantly remember
yeah,
or do I
yeah.
have to relearn it?
No. You remember it.
But, okay.
But
so
you
I retain
can only
it only when the book is in my hand,
correct.
But I will retain it anytime the book is in my
hands. Yes.
Okay.
On your person.
Yeah. Oh, so my person. Like in a book bag.
In a book bag, okay. You're good.
Follow up question. Do ebooks count?
Ooh. Hmm. Yeah.
If ebooks count, yes, I would take the deal. If ebooks do not count, I'd probably still take the deal. It would just be a little more cumbersome.
It's a book. An ebook is a book, right? Yeah.
It has all the information in it.
Yeah.
Because I can put ebooks on my phone.
I would even say if you've learned something by watching on your phone, then that count. Like if you watch a YouTube video on how to do something, then I would say even that counts as long as your 100%. Phone's on you.
Do I have to pay for this or am I getting a million dollars?
You get $1 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would definitely.
I didn't even think about the phone. Yeah, the phone makes it. The phone makes it kind of a game changer.
Technology.
Even without the phone, I would also still do it.
Yeah.
I would
do it. It's just, if it has to be a physical book, it's going to be a little more cumbersome. But if I know that I'm going to be speaking on a particular topic, I'll just grab a bunch of those books, read them, and then keep them on me while I'm talking.
I was thinking about Dr. Shah, who's like, has to speak on like certain things at conferences and stuff. But then he's like, got to have the book on him while he's giving them.
Not if he downloads it.
Yeah, true.
Download a PDF of the manuscript. You're good to go, baby.
I would also take $1 million. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's an important one. The clarifications there are important. If you had said, like, if you read it you put it down, you forget it, you have to relearn it, then I would not take that.
No,
then you're just relearning everything for the rest of your life.
No, it's just you can't remember it unless the source is on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would take it. I think
I would also take it.
I don't see a lot of downside there.
Yeah, I would take it as well. Would you take it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I wonder if Dr. Shah would take it. I feel like he would.
Probably.
I feel like that's going to be a really powerful ability.
Yeah, with the phone aspect, I think you've got it. No problem.
Yeah. Write in and let us know if you take that deal. 252-582-5028. And if so, what are you learning first? Let us know what you would read first and then remember forever if you keep it
true.
On you.
Very true.
Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio, ushering in the weekend with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, we're going to give you $1 million.
Okay.
Here's the only catch.
I'm ready.
There's a big catch.
Okay.
Anytime you read something or you learn something from a book, you can only remember it if the book is on your person.
Hmm.
If it's like in a bag or in your backpack or something like that. So like you read a new book on prophecy, you read a new book on Revelation, you learn something, you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. You can't remember it if the book's at home or if it's in your office.
Do
you
even remember the book?
You will remember that you read the book, but you're like, I can't remember what I read.
Okay.
But now if it's on your phone, you're good because your phone's on your pocket.
So it can be digital.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can go along with that.
We talked about that on the intro. I was like,
that's an important clarification.
Yeah. It can be digital.
But what if the phone dies or something?
You forget it instantly.
Here's what you do.
If
it's a digital copy of the book, PDF, if it's an audiobook or something, just take those files, put them on a little hard drive, a little slim hard drive.
You can do that.
But the hard drive has to stay active then. Because if it's shut down.
What if the hard drive is shut down? That's a good point.
Yeah, are files on a hard drive? This is a philosophical question. Are files on a hard drive there if the hard drive's powered off? I don't know.
They must be, right?
I don't
have to be.
I got no clue.
It has to be turned on. So you have to have a computer. So you have to have a power sores on you all the time.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
So I got to make sure there's a generator with me.
Or if it's like, a little generator. Or if it's like
your jacket is just lined with power banks and you just plug into the next one and plug it in the
next
one.
Like if I'm playing a video, I'm talking like old school video games, like an N64, and I take the cartridge out, is the game there? Like, it's not rendered. It needs a TV, right?
That's a good point. Where is the data?
It's just a bunch of ones and zeros until I put it in the thing.
My brain.
Boom!
I gotta go figure some stuff out. This opened a larger philosophical can
of
worms.
Even if it was only paper books, would you take the money? Like, let's say you got to preach on something or you got to do it. You just have a backpack or you just put the book in your pocket.
And what's the money?
$1 million.
For what?
You forget anything you learn unless the source where you read it is on your person.
I'll have to pass on that.
No, you got
to
pass on.
How many books can I carry?
As many as you want. As many as possible.
I won't be able to carry but so many.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
but if we include the phone, you take the money.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I have to make sure I have a power source and I have to make sure I get it charged.
I was like, imagine being at ETS and you're saying something and your phone dies in your pocket. You're like, I'm sorry, guys. I just forgot everything. What I was talking about. Yeah. Let me sit down.
Talking about carrying books. Like when I do go to like ETS or some convention like that where they have book sales. Oh my goodness. One time, this is about several years ago, 5-6 years ago, I returned from the conference and my fingers were hurting. And I'm like, why are my fingers hurting so bad? It's like I bruised them or something got dislocated. It was hurting really, really, really bad. And I was like, I got to go get some surgery done or maybe it's in a carpal tunnel kind of thing. I'm like, okay, I got to get something done. Like, where did I do that? Did I hit someone? Oh, I know why. So when you go to these book sales, they give you these bags. Okay. These are bags, like they have these very narrow, skinny handles. And I get like 15 books, 20 books in each of those
bags.
And
you've been carrying them?
Heavy, heavy dictionary type books. And I'm walking, and if you ever go to these places like San Antonio, Baltimore, Atlanta, I don't know what else, Denver. When you go to some of these places, the convention hall to the hotel where you're staying, it's like you're walking at least a mile.
100%. 100%. We ran into that in RB.
Yeah.
It's not a mile away. It just... going from here to here, going the elevator, walking down here, turning around, going down.
That's a bad feeling. I remember there was something, I can't remember what it was, but as you were saying that, I was remembering NRB, I had to carry something really awkward and heavy to the expo hall. I cannot remember what it was, but I was just fuming the whole time.
I remember that. We had stuff in like the room upstairs where we had our storage stuff, and we had to take it like...
It was all the banners, the stand-up banners, the tabletop banners. And Ryan and Ellie, Ryan was in a conference. Ellie was manning the table. There was no one. I mean, I had to get it down.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had so many of it. I was carrying them down the stairs.
Go down this place, turn around here, go down the elevator.
My fingers
That's
so
exactly
bad.
How.
And I was like, ugh! And I saw so many people there just looking at me. I was like, can somebody please?
Somebody at least offer.
And finally, one guy, kind of a big guy, came over and was like, you need some help? I was like, yes, please. When you said traveling with books, I thought you were going with that was when, I don't know if you remember this, when we went to Israel and your boys had their school bags crammed to the brim with their textbooks. And you, Thomas and Nicholas both had schoolwork, so they had their bags. When I say these bags were crammed, I mean, it looked like at any moment, if they just flexed their backs, it would just
explode.
And he was talking to Nicole. He was like, they should not have done this. Why did they do that? And she was like, oh, I don't know.
And it was not even like they needed every book.
Right. Yeah.
It's not even like they need everything in each book. They could have taken a picture.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know the assignments are in there. I'm like, take a picture of it. Picture.
So, right.
So they're walking around.
Much more compact.
They're walking around like not only just in the hotel, like walking around the sites. Oh, yeah. With
a massive
crammed to the back. Yeah. And I'm like, that has to
school
hurt.
School bag. It's not even like the clothes or the stuff. It's school bag.
Yeah. Why'd y'all, do you remember doing that, Nicholas? Yeah, you do. Yes, he does. 100%.
I got onto them. They're like, well, we're fine. We don't have a problem.
We're okay.
I have a problem watching you guys.
I remember.
You're hurting my back.
I remember watching them being like, man, that bothers me.
Yeah.
That, like, we're walking all day and they've got like 12 textbooks in their bags.
Yep.
That's for sure when you said that. I thought that's where you were going with it.
Hopefully Nicholas will use this as an opportunity to look inward and examine why he would have taken his books.
Oh, well, before you hit us with that great grade A segue, my friend, I guess I'll let you know what time it is. Here comes the Game Boy. It's mail time, mail brother. Someone time. Has written into the mail show, but first time. We gotta sing the mail time song. Take it away, my friend.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail. When it comes, I wanna wail. Mail.
Coming from Michelle P. right here in the home state of North Carolina. Michelle P., what do you think it stands for, dude?
Paparazzi.
Well,
Michelle
mail
Paparazzi.
That is a good one.
Hey guys,
Michelle Paparazzi.
Look over here at Cleavy today. You snooze, you lose. Michelle Paparazzi says, "Hey guys, longtime listener, but I've never written into the show before. Dr. Shah, I very much appreciate this current series you're doing on the Lord's Supper. I come from a very traditional background, and it's a shame that so many churches don't observe the Lord's Supper anymore. How do you feel about unbelievers partaking in the Lord's Supper? Ooh. I've seen many times where people visiting churches partake in the Lord's Supper." The Lord's Supper. Good gracious, got to cut that out of the show, David. I've seen many times where people visiting churches partake in the Lord's Supper out of awkwardness or trying not to be disrespectful. Is there a tactful way for pastors to discourage this, or would you even recommend that someone not partake? I've wondered about this for years. Thanks so much. Love the show. Michelle Paparazzi.
So I would go back to the sacramental versus ordinance debate. Mm-hmm. If it's a sacrament, then of course you'll be very strict on who takes and who doesn't take.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you don't want somebody to take it who is not supposed to take it, because this is going to be harmful for you. Mm-hmm. This is not good for our church body for you to come and partake of our meal.
Right.
But if it doesn't have sacramental value, it's more of an ordinance, then I have to say you're not supposed to take it. Mm-hmm. But hopefully you will give your life to Jesus Christ and truly have a relationship with him, which is far more than just eating that piece of wafer and drinking from that little cup, because that really is not giving you any benefit. Forget about the sacramental benefit. It's not even benefiting you for nourishment, because it's not enough.
It's just a thin wafer and a little shot of grape juice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have a relationship with Christ. You're not looking around the church family as your family. You're not looking behind to the time when Jesus gave the bread and the cup to his disciples, and you are to picture yourself there. You're not looking forward in anticipation because you don't have Christ in your life. You're
Not so what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, there's no marriage supper of the Lamb for you.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, I mean, no supper for you.
It's a very, very poor appetizer. So I would say... shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get too up in people's faces about it.
Yeah. That's
it's
a great
like
answer.
It's on you now. I don't know what it does for you. It really doesn't do anything.
Yeah, true. And I think it ties into what we're talking about, because it is an opportunity even for them to look inward, you know, and really examine what it is that we're about to do.
Right. Well, you use that kind of language, Dr. Shah, when it's time for communion for us here at Clearview, is take this as an opportunity to examine your hearts.
That's right.
It's intentionally, like we were talking about on earlier episodes, there's a long stretch where there is no talking during communion. There's a long stretch where it's just, you know, the mechanics of what's happening is we're passing the wafers and passing the cup.
Right.
But spiritually, inwardly, it gives us a chance to examine where are and check our relationship with God.
You also do a great job of setting the mood without setting instructions. You know what I mean? Like the way that you carry yourself, and I have never really thought about this until we started doing this series this week, but the way you carry yourself through the communion, you know, I think it really speaks volumes about a leader when they can set what's about to happen without saying, "Hey guys, when this happens, nobody's talking, nobody's looking around, stop laughing. You know, this is the time." When you just carry yourself with that atmosphere and a room full of like 500, 600 people follow you, I think that really speaks volumes.
Thank you.
Not only about you, but just about the gravity of what we're doing.
Right.
And everybody seems to be, at least from what I've seen at Clearview, I think there's been one instance where that wasn't the case, but mostly everybody is like, okay, we're of one mind.
Right.
We understand what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking instance. About that one time somebody came in. I don't know if we should talk about it on the show. I guess it's okay too. Someone stood up and wanted to share their testimony in the middle of communion.
Yeah. And it's we appreciate that, but it's just that. There's a time and place.
Yeah,
this is not the right time.
Yeah, not
the
communion.
Time or the place.
Yeah, some churches have like a testimonial time where you get up and you share with the church, but the communion is not that.
Not
time.
The time for that.
No, not that.
But as we mentioned, looking around in fellowship, looking back in remembrance, looking forward in anticipation, there's one more place you need to look, and that is look inward in examination.
Amen.
You have to examine your heart. And this, again, is coming from Scripture. This is coming from 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 27. One of you guys can read it.
Sure. Yeah. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world."
Well, before I dive into this examination part, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged."
That's a great point.
Deal with sin in your life.
Yeah.
And you won't have to have God deal with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Acknowledge your sin. Confess your sin. Repent. Ask God's healing. Ask for God's fullness in your life. And it is so much better than to hide it.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. And I was trying to find the words to say. It's crazy how, I don't want to say low stakes. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is it's just me and God. But it's surprising how difficult that can be to just confess my sin before God. Because I want to just say, well, God understands. God knows. I don't need to tell him what he knows.
Right.
So I'm just going to bury it and let it be what it is. God knows. God understands. But it should be sort of the lowest stakes sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like to say it to God and to admit it to him, to confess it to him. I don't know why it's so difficult for Christians to examine themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we don't want to let go of our sins.
Yeah.
Our, whether it is lust or it's greed, it's envy, it's anger, bitterness, whatever that is, we feel like, oh, this is my little fun. This is my little sugar stick. I don't want to give it up. If I give it up, then I will lose my fun. It won't be me anymore.
Yeah. Good point.
And what you don't realize is that very thing is keeping you in Satan's stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
So let go of that and you'll realize Satan cannot have his hold on you. God has some great ministry or God has a level of usefulness that's not going to be until you let go of that sin.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think I heard you say this in a message one time, Dr. Shaw, but you know, that idea of it won't be me anymore. If I let go of this, it won't be me anymore. Mm-hmm. Holding on to that is preventing you from being the you that God intends for you to be.
Right.
See, there's sin. And I feel like we're comfortable categorizing our sins. There's sin that's like sin, like hatred. You know, I don't want to, that's not me. But my pride, you know, that's what makes me confident. That's what makes me, you know, that little bit of arrogance, you know, women like that and people like that. They want that. Or this lust, you know, hey, this sin is fun.
Mm-hmm.
This sin is sin. Like killing people and murdering people and you know, assaulting. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
But lust, hey, man, everybody does it. So it's not, and it does feel good and it's fun. And yeah, it's sin. I get that. But come on, we all wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We all got it.
Yeah.
It's weird how we categorize that. And even though even us talking about it here, I still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just an odd thing that it just comes from, I guess, examining yourself and or the lack of examining yourself.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. One big question that I often get asked on this passage is, you know, when Paul said that to the Corinthians, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you and many asleep." And sleep means dead.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen today?
Hmm.
You know, that's a question people ask me. Does that happen? Does God takes the life of people if they misuse or abuse the Lord's Supper. Mm. There are times that I have seen it. People purposely get up and leave the church during communion.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. He says, for who he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself. Mm-hmm. For this reason, many are weak. So he's saying they're weak and sick and have died because the Lord has judged them. Mm-hmm.
Because of how because they were treating how, the
gotcha, gotcha.
Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there are people who are like, right now I'm angry at my brother, or right now I have this live-in relationship, or right now I am struggling with this sin, whatever that sin is. Uh-huh. I can't take it. If I take it, there's a good chance I may get weak or sick, or I may even die.
Wow.
So how should I answer? How do I answer people like that? Mm-hmm. I tell them that, yes, in the New Testament period, things happened when people sinned. Mm-hmm. That don't happen today. For example, you're familiar with Ananias and Sapphira in mm-hmm. the book of Acts, mm-hmm. right? These were members of that first church,
right.
the yeah. early church. And they, everybody in the church was selling their property, bringing the money and putting it at the feet of the disciples, the apostles. And so it was a time of great celebration because this was not communism. This was people coming together to take care of their families, mm-hmm. take care of each other. And somehow Satan slithers in. He always does that.
Yeah.
Anytime something good's happening, he will come in and take something good and make it bad. And I say that with trepidation because I know he can attack me anytime. So I say it hiding behind Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not in my own strength or own power. I say it knowing that without Christ, I'm sunk. Mm-hmm. But with Christ, I know that I'm more than a conqueror.
100%.
Right? He who is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
Amen. That's right.
So I say that with confidence, but not with with pride,
right.
with arrogance.
Right.
Big difference between confidence and arrogance. So Satan came in the early church, and he tempted Ananias and Sapphira to sin. And they sinned by lying about how much they had sold. So they hadn't sold that much. And they said, oh, we gave it all. I surrender all. Like the song, mm-hmm. I surrender all. Mm-hmm. And they put it at the feet of the disciples. And of course, as you know, the apostles, disciples, they said, why do you think it's okay to lie to the Holy Spirit? Boom.
Gone.
There goes Ananias. Then his wife shows up. And of course, Peter sees her and she also is the same I surrender all lie. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the same Paul bearers who took your husband's body out are waiting at the door. Mm-hmm. Mm. She falls to the ground. She dies as well.
Yeah.
Now, why doesn't that happen today? Does it not happen because people don't lie in church? They lie every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. Now, when I hear people say, I love them old-fashioned hymns and stuff, it's like, I don't want y'all to lie. Because every time we sing, I surrender all and pass the offering plate, y'all are lying.
Y'all are lying. Mm-hmm. You know good and well yeah. y'all lying. You know, can't sing I surrender all, man.
Yeah,
yeah. You surrendered a little.
Lest that make you a lie.
I heard a pastor say to one time, or one of my favorite preachers, he said, you know, one time in the church when you can get the whole church to lie, just say, I surrender all and pass the offering plate.
That's, huh? There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
But God doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. Anymore. He doesn't take the lives because it's we're living in the age of grace. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want us to think that he is okay with our lives.
Right, because he doesn't change and his standard doesn't change.
Right. So even though he is allowing us to exist and not be punished or judged in this age is because of grace. Mm-hmm. But he does want us to remember that sin is still sin, God is still holy, and he deals with sin.
Right.
So remember what God did with Ananias and Sapphira and don't lie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because if I were to do that, I still deserve what they got.
Yes. Right.
Even though he's choosing to give me grace, it's not that, well, now I have free reign. You know, I still deserve death. I still deserve that punishment.
So also during the communion, we need to remember people died when they were misusing the communion or mistreating their fellow brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. or refusing to examine their hearts. People died. Mm-hmm. keep that in mind. Yeah. Next time when the communion is served, don't get up and walk out. Don't pull that mess. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to say, hey, I know I'm sinning, but right now I'm not going to confess. I'm waiting for a better time. No, the time is now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
God hates sin, whatever that sin may be. Confess, repent, and restore your relationship with Jesus Christ. And remember, people died.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
That's right. So helpful for us. Man, this past week has been wonderful, where we learned how to look around our fellowship, look behind at what Christ has done for us, look forward in anticipation, and then look inward in examination, checking our hearts, checking our spirit. Pray that it was helpful for you at home as well, learning more about communion. If it was, write in and let us know what you got from this week's episodes, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what encouragement you want to leave our listeners with this weekend?
As always, make sure you are in the house of the Lord worshiping. And listen, if you guys are taking the Lord's Supper this week, think back on everything we've talked about here. I know that I'm going to be thinking about it, and Dr. Shaw and Ryan will be thinking about it as well. But it's just such a great reminder that everything we talk about here is something that God has not only laid on our hearts, but laying on your hearts as well. And as always, we'll come back on Monday. We got some brand new content for you right here on the Clearview Today Show.
That's right. Make sure you guys tune in. Have a wonderful weekend. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.